Jesus is an amazing storyteller, and so often in his ministry, he used stories to teach spiritual truths. One of his most enduring stories is the parable of the sower. This parable is found in Matthew 13, also in Mark 4 and Luke 8, and we're going to examine Matthew's account of this story this morning. This scene that you see here on the screen was part of my childhood. While I was in FFA and 4-H, I had the opportunity to do some land judging. At Reach Week this year, I was talking to Alex and Ann, and I learned that they also had this great experience. Land judging was great for me because it meant a day out of school. Land judging was also an exercise in guessing for me. I was never really that good at it. I looked at land and I said, well, that looks like dirt to me. Jesus, he also did some land judging in his day. He used illustrations that people of his day could connect with. Stories about sheep and shepherds, stories about leaven, stories about fish and fishermen, stories about soil and seed. This morning we are going to accompany Jesus as he does some land judging of his own. And the land that's going to be judged is our heart. You will find yourself in this parable this morning. This story that we read from our Savior, you will find yourself if you're careful to look. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. This parable places an emphasis on hearing God's word. That phrase that Jesus ends the parable with, he who has ears, let him hear. There is an emphasis on listening. There is a direct connection between our ears and our heart. The condition of your heart will determine how you respond to Jesus. In Mark chapter 4, verse 13, we see that Jesus actually places extra emphasis on this parable. Here Jesus says, do you not understand this parable? And this immediately followed the parable of the sower. Do you not understand this? How then will you understand all the parables? Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he looks at them, and he knows that they didn't get it. He knows that they didn't understand it. And he's concerned, because Jesus is going to teach many other spiritual lessons, many other spiritual truths. And if they aren't listening with the right heart, they're not going to get it. So the emphasis is on listening and responding, and there's actually an extra point to this parable. Why does Jesus place the extra emphasis on this particular story? It's because of the necessity of obediently hearing. This story from Jesus isn't difficult to understand. Even for those of us here this morning, living a century away from when Jesus was doing this, many centuries away, it very well should be easy for us to understand. But maybe the challenge for us this morning is actually to apply this. Some describe this parable from Jesus as his most important, because he is speaking of the heart. If a person's heart isn't right, it will be impossible for them to follow Jesus. And you look at the apostles, they were struggling. They were struggling to understand. It's because their hearts and their minds weren't always in tune with Jesus. They had different expectations for him. They had different motivation. They struggled with selfishness. They also struggled with what they wanted from Jesus. We remember the apostles fighting over who would be the greatest in the kingdom. We remember them bickering over who should have the best seats, the seats of honor. We remember them deserting Jesus in his hour of need. We remember them denying him and betraying him. We remember them struggling with their faith. And here they're struggling with understanding this parable. And all of these actions, they were symptoms of a bigger problem. Their hearts were not always right. And so Jesus, he goes the extra mile. to explain this parable to his followers. In verses 18 through 20, he describes the first soil. Hear then the parable of the sower. I need you to get this. I need you to understand what I'm saying. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Jesus here makes a plea for them to not only open their ears, but also for them to open their hearts. There's an emphasis on understanding here with this particular soil. Now, all of us, we understand that there's a difference between memorizing something and actually understanding something. It's one thing to memorize facts about Jesus. It's quite another to actually know Him. God desires relationship with us. He wants our faith in Him, our relationship with Him, to go beyond just memorizing facts. We can go into our children's Bible classes and we can ask our children truths about Jesus, facts about Him, and they can rattle them off to us. And as adults, there are things that we know about Jesus. We can tell you where He was born. We can tell you where He died. We can tell you where He performed certain miracles. But do we really know Him? Do we have a relationship with Him? If you understand who God is, you'll know that God wants to be wanted, that He longs to be loved. And so here in this particular parable, Jesus is emphasizing the importance of understanding. We don't have to know everything. In Acts chapter 8, the Spirit leads Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch is reading from Isaiah, but he doesn't understand what he's reading. And so Philip began from that very passage in Isaiah, and he told him about Jesus. The eunuch didn't learn everything about Jesus in one setting. He didn't learn everything about the church, but he learned enough. He knew enough to obey. He knew enough to respond. We need to understand what Jesus has done for us. We need to understand what He has made possible for us. We need to understand what broke our relationship with God. We need to understand that Jesus is the only way for us to get back with God. And if we understand all of this, we will want to obey. If we understand all of this, we will never leave. And so when you look at this soil, it describes many people today. Many people who respond initially, but don't fully grasp, don't fully understand what's at stake. If we know Jesus, and we know that He's the only way for us to get to God, and if we know that without Him we're lost in our sin and we have no hope of eternal life in heaven, if we know all of that, we're going to be rushing to obey Him. We're going to make sure we stay with Him because we can't find what He offers anywhere else. But we have to understand. We have to understand what's at stake. We know many people walk away from Jesus. People walked away from Jesus during His ministry. And even today, all of us, we could list names. We could have images of faces in our minds of people who have walked away. Satan is always at work, and we see that here in the soil. The heart is the battleground. Before you walk away from Jesus, make sure you realize what you're leaving behind. Make sure you understand what's at stake. Now we move to the second soil. Here in verse 20, Jesus describes this soil. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. This soil illustrates the importance of growing. All of us are going to have battles in our life. Tribulation and persecution will accompany the walk with Jesus. If you notice verse 21, Jesus doesn't say if. He doesn't say if trials arise or if persecution comes about. He says when. It's going to happen. Anybody who takes Jesus seriously is going to face persecution. That person will face trials. What was the source of tribulation? What was the source of persecution? We look at the apostles' lives. That's who Jesus is speaking directly to here. He wants them to understand this story. And so not only does he share the parable initially, but he actually goes into detail to make sure they get it. And so he's talking about this particular type of soil. This particular soil that can be unfruitful because of persecution, because of trials. Consider the trials the apostles would face later in life. Consider the temptations that would come their way, the disappointments that would accompany their walk with Christ. But I want you to notice something else. Because Jesus actually attaches persecution, he actually attaches trials with the word. Did you catch that? Jesus says you will face persecution, you will face tribulation on account of the word. If you stand up for Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. If you stand up for Jesus and speak up for him, you're going to face some difficult times. And we look at our society today and we see the direction that it's going. We see the things that just seem to be up in the air. If you stand up for what's right, people aren't always going to like you. And so Jesus, he's preparing his apostles, because what they did after Jesus died, if you read through the book of Acts, they were in some situations where they were not very popular. They were in situations where they were thrown in jail, where they were beaten because of what they said. Just simply because of their words, because they preached about Jesus, because they told other people what they knew. They weren't liked, and they were persecuted. So how can we endure? If we know persecution is coming, if we know trials are going to be part of our life as a Christian, how can we endure? Well, we have to get rooted. We have to get anchored. We must continually grow. Temporary Christianity doesn't cut it. And that's the image that we have here with this particular soil. Somebody who initially was a Christian, initially was faithful, but it was only temporary. This person only endures for a while. Only a temporary Christian. We can't merely be Christians on Sunday. We can't merely be Christians when it's convenient for us. We have to continually grow in our relationship with Jesus. Now we come to the third soil in verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. This soil emphasizes the importance of priorities. The thorns represent God's competition. God will always have competition. Satan is going to make sure of that. In the playing field where the competition is decided is your heart. We live in a sports-saturated society. That's just the truth of it. I imagine if Jesus were alive today, we would have some parables centered on sports. Because Jesus would always take what people could connect with. And he would take that part of their life and he would teach spiritual truths. That's why we have this parable about the soil and the seed. It was something that the people of this day could really connect with. It was their life. It was how they existed. It was an agricultural world in this particular time. And for us today, we have sports all around us. Maybe you can't connect to this story about dirt and land and soil and seed. But you probably understand competition. There is an ongoing competition in your heart. And this competition is more important than the World Cup that's ongoing. This competition is more important than OU's annual football game with Texas. This competition is more important than any games your kids are playing this week or this year. The thorns represent the cares of this world. They represent the competition. Isn't it the cares of this world that continually battle with God for supremacy in our hearts? Isn't it the cares of this world that drag us away from God, that focus our attention in other places instead of us being able to focus where we need to continually? As we look at these first three soils, I believe this soil best describes Christianity in America. Look in detail at what Jesus says about this soil. This soil is unproductive because of all the cares of this world. This soil is not productive because of the deceitfulness of riches, which come in and choke out the word. Anybody in here this morning have any cares of this world? That describes my existence most days. Anybody in here been deceived by Satan? Especially when it comes to money, when it comes to riches? Anyone struggling with prioritizing the riches of heaven over the riches of this world? Somebody or something owns your heart. Somebody or something is your priority. When Jesus looks at your heart, what does he see? In essence, what Jesus is doing here in this parable is he's doing some land judging or some heart judging. When Jesus looks at your heart, does he see a bunch of thorns? Does he see a heart that's dominated by the cares of this world? Does he see a heart that's been deceived by Satan? One that is in love with the riches of this world. And then we close by looking at this final scene. The good soil. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold. In another, 60. And in another, 30. So here we are at the last soil, the good soil. Have you noticed that everything in this parable is connected with God's word? Each description of the soils by Jesus has a focus on the Word of God. How we respond to God's Word will determine our future destiny. Some reject what the Bible has to say. Some neglect what the Bible has to say. Some interject into what the Bible has to say. And then there are some who just simply accept what the Bible has to say. This is the good soil. This soil illustrates the importance of productivity. Maybe the hardest thing for us to see is which soil represents our life. Because everyone in here this morning, now listen, everyone in here this morning probably believes that they are the good soil. And that's not the case. Maybe that's why this parable is so difficult to really understand. Because we look at these different types of soil. And if you've read through the Gospels on many occasions, you get to this parable and it's a familiar teaching. And a lot of times when we get to familiar teachings, we already have preconceived ideas about it. And so we just kind of quickly move through it. And we read the first three soils and we think to ourselves, I'm so glad that doesn't describe me. And then we get to this fourth soil and we're like, that's me. There I am. I found myself. How do we know if we're the good soil? Well, the first warning that I would issue is don't assume you're the good soil. Don't just come to that assumption. Don't just glance through this and automatically think, well, I've got to be the good soil. Jesus, he provides an easy way for us to make that determination. And if you really look at what Jesus says here, be honest with you, it's kind of scary. Jesus has given us the measuring stick. The person who's the good soil hears the word and understands it. He understands what's at stake. She understands what Jesus brings to them. You remember that first soil that we looked at? It was an illustration of understanding God's word. And this person understands it. They understand what Jesus did at Calvary for them individually. But that's not all. That's not the only measuring stick. I believe a lot of us in here understand that. We understand what's at stake. We understand what Jesus did for us. We understand what we just partook of when we partook of communion. Remembering Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection. We understand that. That's one part of the measuring stick. But that's not all of it. This person is also productive. This person produces fruit. I mentioned my vast experience at land judging from my adolescent days. It was an exercise in guessing most of the times when I was out there in one of those cut-out places trying to tell what type of soil it is, looking at the slope of the land. We don't have to guess concerning our spiritual heart. We can't guess. It's too important. There's too much at stake. Do you understand God's word? Do you understand God's desire to have a relationship with you? Do you understand it's only through Jesus that this is possible? And then are you productive? When I read through the book of Acts and I get to Acts chapter 2 and I see that 3,000 people obeyed the gospel, and then I continue to read and I turn the page and I see that multitudes are added to the church. And then I continue to read and I see that the number just keeps growing and it keeps growing. That didn't happen accidentally. It didn't happen with people just sitting in a pew. It happened because people went to work and they told people about Jesus. It happened because people produced. And that's how we know what type of soil we are. Now, we can sit in here this morning and we can just say to ourselves, well, I know I'm the good soil. There's too much at stake to just make that assumption. Because Jesus, He just lays it on the line here for us. And you may not like this message this morning, but you need to take that up with Jesus. Because it's not me talking. This is Jesus' parable. And this is His explanation of it. If you are the good soil, you're going to understand God's word, and you're going to be productive. What are you producing for the kingdom? What fruit are you bearing? If you're not bearing any fruit, if you're not producing anything, then this is not your heart. This isn't the soil that describes you. You would be one of the other three. And that's what's scary. Because we can live for God for 20, 30, 40 years as a Christian and never really produce anything. And that's what Satan wants. And that's why we see these other types of soils that are illustrated here. We see Satan at work within the minds and in the hearts of Christians. Because what Satan wants more than anything is for you to not be productive. So honestly, evaluate yourself. Take a look at these four soils, because you'll find yourself. Whether you're the soil that's illustrated by the seed that's sowed along the path, or the soil that's sowed on the rocky places, the seed that is sowed there in the thorns, or the good soil. One of these soils describes your heart. Through Jesus Christ, all things are possible for us. And one of the great things about Christ is He always gives us an opportunity to reset. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need to reset our priorities. Sometimes we need to reset ourselves spiritually. And God gives us that chance through His Son. Just because you haven't been productive thus far doesn't mean you can't be productive. Just because you didn't produce something yesterday doesn't mean you can't produce something today. If you need to repent, if you need to come back to the Lord, if you need to be baptized into Christ and start your walk, we give you that opportunity as we stand and sing together.